I have to say this morning.
Oh, I do.
Okay, so this morning, I just want us to give whatever we have, give all. Because if you give him all, it doesn't matter what it looks like, it doesn't matter what it sounds like, it's for him, and he will honor that, and he will bless you in ways that you don't know now. He will bless you if you give him your all.
Yay, yay. Okay.
Let's stand together, church. God, we just thank you so much for this time we get to worship you, God. And I just pray, Father, for every heart in this place, God, that we would just be immersed in your presence. We just thank you so much, Father, that you love us regardless of who we are, who we think we are, what we've done, what we've come from, Lord. Your love is never ending. It is deeper than the deepest part of the ocean, wider than any valley. And God, I just pray right now that your presence would just fall in this place. We thank you so much, Jesus, that you just love us so, so, so much. We praise your name this morning, God. And I just pray, Lord, against all distractions, God. I pray, Lord, against all thoughts, Lord, of the past week or what we have going on to later today, what we have going on the rest of the week, God, that our minds right now would just be focused on you. Right now, we would just be focused on you. We thank you, Jesus, for this great opportunity we get to worship you, Jesus.
I'm sick, down and out. You are worthy, are you, Lord? Even when life feels wrong, you're worthy, are you, Lord? Even when I didn't feel like coming to church,
to you, Lord, forever. All.
Shining like the
Can we go back to that final bridge? Shut up there. Oh. No. Yes, this. Can we do that one more time? How many know that we are gathered here in a physical place here on earth, but we're also gathered in the Spirit in heaven? And so when we say all the angels cry out, "Holy is the Lord," and we reply, "Holy are you," we're participating in the worship in the heavenlies, not just here in this room. So let's just set our hearts on that for a moment, that we're to set our gaze on God. We're to set our gaze on Jesus seated at the right hand, not necessarily everybody that's around us right now, but Lord, we focus on you, Lord. We focus on you, Lord, in the Holy of Holies, Lord. We focus on you, Lord, your throne room, Lord. Right now in our hearts, we gather together, Lord, in the Spirit, Lord, and we join in with those angels that are singing. We join in right now, Lord. Father, for your righteousness, your glory. And thank you, Lord, that we didn't choose it, Lord, but you've chosen us, Lord, to share in that holiness and glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Lord, to make us more holy, to make us more righteous, Lord. But in Christ, we are righteous. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that our righteousness, Lord, was like filthy rags, but your righteousness, Lord, is holy, holy, holy. Lord, let that go deep into our hearts, Lord, what you've done for us, who you have made us to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just release your grace right now over every heart and every life that's here and online. Just ask you, Lord, to just remove the lies of the enemy that have built up, that have kept people from knowing your holiness and righteousness in their life. Just release, Lord, your perfect will over every heart and mind right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, well, greet someone. Share some coffee if you want to, and we'll be back in a few.
Good morning. Good morning. We are going to do our declarations. If you wouldn't mind standing with us. We make declarations here in this house because we believe that God hears our voice. And we believe that when we declare stuff, even before we actually see it, things happen, things shift and move. And so this is the one over our house here, over God's house, One Life Family Worship. So you can go to that first slide, Caden. So we'll say this in unison on the count of three. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and He is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. God, I thank you so much for this house. I thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord, at One Life Family Worship, God, on Sunday mornings, Lord, on Sunday evenings at our youth group, God. And I thank you, Jesus, that you love this place. You are with us, God, that you're moving mightily, Lord, that you are touching families, Lord. You are touching hearts, God. You are touching finances. You are touching health, God. And we thank you, Jesus, that you love us and you're with us. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen. So just a few announcements, not really, but there's one. First off, I wanted to say thank you guys for participating last week. For those of you who were able to make it to the Chili Feed, it was such a great event. Yeah, it was. And I just wanted to, they're not here, but I just wanted to shout out our two of our youth girls, Hannah and Chloe Johnson, won the Chili Feed. And I just wanted to say I'm so glad that our youth, I think they cheated, but it's okay. They won nonetheless. And so that was exciting. And then the only real announcement I have is later this, we don't have a slide for it quite yet, but every year for the last few years, we've done something called the Lord's Supper. And this is a night where, this is different than the Chili Feed, different than a spaghetti feed. This is a night where we get just to come in as family and enjoy a meal together. And it happens, so you can put it in your calendars if you want. We'll send out a text and we'll have a slide for it next week. But on November 19th, which is a Sunday, the Sunday right before Thanksgiving, we are doing the Lord's Supper, and the time I have is 5. Is that correct? Okay, so 5 o'clock Sunday evening, and again, this is just a night where we gather, sure, where we gather as family and we share a meal.
This is probably my favorite service of the whole year, and the reason that I like it so much is because we also share in communion. And I love the heart of the Lord's Supper because it's hard to describe. It is, pardon me, intimate. It is very intimate, even though we've had more people at that Lord's Supper than any other service really before. And what I wanted to share was just a testimony of something that happened a couple years ago. And what happened is our very own Vicky was popping out to her car for some reason, and she saw parked in our parking lot a police car sitting out in the parking lot, and they were just sitting there. Lights were off, and it was just parked, but she could see that there was a couple of police officers in the front seats. So she went over, and they rolled down their window, and they're like, can we help you? You know, like really scary. And she goes, hey, we actually are doing a Lord's Supper. And if you guys have time, we would love if you would want to come in and just grab a bowl of soup and some bread and just share with us in the Lord's Supper. And they came in. They came in and sat down and did the whole service with us. They took communion with us. They prayed with us. I mean, that is what reaching Yakima one life at a time is all about. And I loved it. And it's not saying that they needed to be reached, but that's how we like to reach out. So please, if there's no other service that any of your family will ever go to, this would be the one to invite them to. They don't have to bring anything. Everything is provided. And it's just an intimate time of having some soup, having some bread, and just sharing with one another across the table, but then sharing in communion at the end. And it's a beautiful, beautiful service, and I love it. So please make sure you invite moms and dads, or, you know, neighbors across the street, or aunties and uncles, anybody. Youth can come. It's for the whole family. So we really hope you can come. It'll be probably 5 to 7-ish, I think. And then, so invite your neighbors. We'll have more, and maybe we could, when you do the slide, Pastor Eric, maybe we could do up some invitation squares or something, and then we can hand them out to y'all, and you guys can actually hand them out to your friends and family. So that would be great. So thank you for letting me share.
And then the last thing is just thank you for giving. Thank you for those who sow into this house. You could give. We have a box up here. You can give a box in the back, as well as you can give online. And again, like I always say, we just appreciate those who choose to intentionally give. God not only loves a joyful giver, but an intentional giver, not out of habit, not out of this is just what I have to do because this is what happens at church, but rather somebody who says, I'm going to intentionally take income, or some of my income, and sow into the house of God is really, really important. And so thank you guys for doing that. Again, you can give in those ways. And then the final thing is this. I'm going to invite Moses up. Moses has a bit of a prayer request. And if you don't know, here at this house, we like to pray. And we believe God moves in prayer. So
God bless you all this morning. As some of you may know and may not know, I'd asked for prayer for my sister. You know, she's 48, I believe. She's 48. And earlier in the year, my sister has Down syndrome. So my older sister takes care of her. And during that care, my sister noticed a lump. So we got it diagnosed, and, well, we know what it is. And we got a report this week. They finally took it to the doctor, checked everything out. And, yeah, it's a tumor. And so what they did is now she's got to go back in for a CAT scan. And we have a difficult decision to make, you know, as a family. They said if it's stage 3, we could look at doing chemo, extend her life a little bit. Stage 4, then, you know, just ease the pain, you know. Friday night, we all got together as a family, and we prayed, and the Lord came down. You know, we're asking for a miracle. You know, it's in God's hands. But as a family, making that decision is going to be very difficult. And it's my younger sister, you know. When we're young, we don't think of these things, do we? Life happens pretty fast, you know. And I'm asking my church family just to join us in prayer, you know. And she loves the Lord. She's the true embodiment of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I remember her as she was nonverbal for a long time until we prayed for her, you know, and she became verbal. And I remember Mom and Dad, when she was very small, bought her a little tape recorder and bought her all of her worship tapes. 24/7, she would just worship. And she was a great example to me and how to worship the Lord, you know. And I'd come home from school, and she'd be in the swing playing that radio all the time with the worship song. It was, and my sister shared with us that night, you know, that they went out to dinner, and she was in pain, you know. And she just put her hand on her chest and then raised her hands, said, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And then she was, "I'm fine." So today I invite you just to join us in prayer as my family. Prays for my sister during these difficult decisions that we're going to have to make as a family, you know. And you don't ever want to see a person suffer or go through that kind of stuff. But it's life. Life happens. And but we are praying for a miracle, you know, and more importantly, that the Lord's will be done, you know. Amen. Pastor. Amen.
Do you, are you good to stand? And we'll lay hands on you.
Amen.
And you be in
I'm good.
Proxy for her and just believe for a miracle. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, that you are the great healer. And Lord, that you have, Lord, allowed, Lord, healing to be part of the ministry of the body of Christ. Lord, your word says that if we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover, Lord. And right now, as we lay hands on Moses, Lord, it's as if we're laying hands on his sister right now in Jesus' name. We speak. We speak to this cancer and we say, die in Jesus' name. Lord, you are the one that gives us, Lord, the power, Lord, in our tongue, the power in our words, Lord, to release your glory into circumstances and situations. As we were declaring over this house, Lord, we declare over her body right now health and life in Jesus' name. We release, Lord, your perfect, perfect, perfect plan over her life. Not the plan of the enemy, not the lies of the enemy, not the report of the enemy, Lord, but your report, Lord, that life is in you, Lord. And Lord, your life that flows through her right now, let it bring healing to every fiber, every tissue. Lord, everything that is not of you, Lord, we rebuke it now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God, we tell it must go right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We speak your peace in its place, Father.
Mm-hmm.
That your blood would just run through her veins, Father. Your healing oil, God, would run from the head to her toes, Father. That your supernatural peace, Lord, would just extend over her mind,
mm-hmm.
her family, Father. That they would feel you in and through this whole situation, Lord. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. Despite what the world says about this, God, we take your report, Lord.
Yes.
And we say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God, we thank you that there's no cancer in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, there's no cancer here, God. We ask that all of heaven would just rain down, Lord,
yes,
over this
Jesus.
Body, over this vessel, God. We thank you that 2,000 years ago on the cross, you took all sin, you took all sickness, Lord, and you said it was finished, it
mm-hmm.
is done.
Jesus.
And so we just speak that, we declare that
yes.
in Jesus' name. We thank you that there is nothing too grand or too big for you, Lord.
That's
and we
right.
just ask for healing, God. We declare
That's right.
healing, God, that your healing power, Lord,
yes.
would come upon this body, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, let it be a sign and a wonder, Lord, to everybody that knows her, everybody in the family that's been holding back their relationship with you or strayed or even those that have fully backslid, Lord. I just pray that this miracle, Lord, would just bring a fire back to them, Lord, healing their hearts, Lord, restoring, Lord, the years that the locusts had eaten. In Jesus' name. Amen. Debbie. Yep, keep her in prayer. Keep Debbie in prayer. Oh, thank you, bro. Praise the Lord. Amen. Caden, can you go ahead and... Oh, is it just on black? Okay, got it. Great. All right, so we've been, I guess... including you. I started last week this series on Equipped for War. And kind of just did an introduction. We went through all 10 or all 8 verses and went through kind of just the whole gamut of what spiritual warfare is and what it means to receive from God what we need to be fully equipped for war. But now we're gonna break it down. I don't know if it's going to be a full 8 lessons, but 8 parts. But today we're going to go over verse 10. And believe me, I had to really condense verse 10 to even make it fill in. But I want to start with a slide here and get you guys to realize something. I don't know if you can see that well. It's kind of hard. But it says, let's not get the cart before the horse or the warrior before the strength. And so... the idea is that if you think about a cart before a horse, it doesn't make any sense. Because what does it take to pull a cart? The horse in front of it, right? And so we want to you know, be equipped for war. We want to be warriors for God. We want to fight the good fight of faith. But it's not something that we do in our natural strength. It's not something that we do in ourselves. It has to be in the power of God. It has to be in the strength of God. It has to be in Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not just something that we just, you know, follow just someone's instructions and it's all good. We have to get this deep inside of us. And so, sorry, here we go. This first verse, I'm going to read through all 8 verses. So, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is not given to us, Lord, just by happenstance or coincidence. Lord, that each and every word in the Bible, Lord, has meaning to us. So, Lord, I pray right now this truth that we're equipped for war, this truth, Lord, that we have weapons for warfare, Lord, this truth, Lord, that we're not warring against just flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, Lord. And this truth, Lord, that we are fully equipped now, that you have given us everything that pertains to our life and godliness. Lord, that we would receive that in our hearts, Lord, and we would be able to live it out, Lord, and make a difference in this world, first in our own lives, in our families, and then in the rest of the world. In Jesus' name. So Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Complete Jewish Bible says it this way: finally, grow powerful in union with the Lord, in union with his mighty strength. I love this. This is one of the best translations. That word in literally means in union. It means to be in something. If I was to say that I was taking a box and I put apples in it, the apples would be in the box. They would be in. And that's how it is. We have to be in union with Christ for these strengths and these powers to come with us. If we just think that we're going to make it as Christians with some kind of mental idea, folks, it doesn't happen. It can't just be information that you've gathered. You could read the entire Bible, but if you don't receive it into your being, where I like to say the word becomes flesh, it starts to dwell in you and starts to become alive in you to where you live it out, you're not going to make it. You're going to be as those seeds that were sown on different types of ground that do not produce fruit. Some, the birds are just going to steal it right when it hits. Others are going to get choked out by the cares of this life. Others are going to be scorched by the sun. The different things are going to happen if we don't get it deeply in us. And so finally, grow powerful in union with the Lord and in union with his mighty strength. The Amplified says it this way: in conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. So there's a strength that we can receive from God. There's an ability to be strong. Let's see what that Greek word means. I can't remember exactly what the Greek word, I didn't write it down, but it's a Greek word, believe me. It says to make strong, so making you strong, to endue with strength, you're being endued with strength, strengthened to receive strength, be strengthened, increase in strength, being bold and headstrong. So that's the different uses of that Greek word. It's definitely a word that when you're receiving it, When you're receiving this union with Christ, when you're in union with Christ, you're being empowered. You're being fortified. You're being energized. Life is flowing through. That's how we were praying for Debbie, that life would flow through her. When we laid hands on Moses, we weren't just doing it in the physical. We were doing spiritual warfare. That was a form of spiritual warfare. We were calling things that are not as though they are, and we were saying, you know what, Lord? You have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. As Eric prayed, you went to the cross. You had stripes on your back so that we could be healed. We're believing by faith that promise that you've given us, and so we're releasing now that truth over Debbie. I'm sure the family prayed that same prayer. We're probably in agreement, but the thing is that there's an ability to do things in Christ. And we'll see here that one of the scripture says we actually do mighty exploits. Romans 4:20 says this: He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That's that Greek word. He was strengthened. You know who this was? This was Abraham. And Abraham was promised when he was younger, not that young, but he wasn't as old as he was when he finally received Isaac. He was promised that he was going to have kids, and then he was going to have offspring, and his wife was barren. And so, as they got older and older, it wasn't happening. And so, God re-promised again, and He told Abraham about a year before it was going to happen that he was going to have a child. And Sarah laughed. I'm not going to have a child. I'm way past the years of having kids. Yeah, eldest dirt, exactly. But it says, he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That was the key. It's not that he just said, oh, okay, I can do it. No, he gave glory to God. God, you're able to do this. In you, I will be able to perform this. And in you, my wife will be able to perform this. And the miracle child will come. Isaac, meaning laughter. The joke was on them, I guess, when they, you know, but he was definitely a gift from God, but it was through Abraham's faith, his confidence in what God says is true. 2 Timothy 2:1 says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What? Oh, 2 Timothy, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Realize, he didn't say, Timothy, be strong. You just be strong, Timothy. You figure it out. Be strong. Pull yourself up by your big boy pants. He didn't say that. He said, be strong in the grace, the supernatural empowerment to do what you can't do in your own natural abilities in Christ Jesus. That is the key. We're not going to go anywhere in our Christianity unless we start realizing we have to be in Christ. Not in the knowledge that we know about God, or not in head knowledge, in Christ. And that means to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. All right. My voice is holding. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. Again, in the faith. In the faith in what? In the faith that you're going to be strong? No, in the faith in Christ. In the faith of the work of the cross. See, if nothing else, you know, on Sundays, just come start looking at that cross and remember what Jesus did for you. He's not hanging on the cross anymore. I know some different, you know, churches around the valley, they still have Jesus on the cross, but he's not on the cross. He's off the cross. He was off the cross the day that he got crucified, and they put him in a tomb, and he was there for 3 days and 3 nights. Just like Jonah in the belly of the well. But on the third day he rose. And when he rose, guess what? All things in life changed for all mankind. We would never be the same. Because he had now conquered death, hell, and the grave. And you know what that means? We conquer death, hell, and the grave. Just as he is our firstborn among many brethren. I know that's a really weird statement, but what it means is, as he has gone through these steps, he is an example of our life, of our death, of our burial and resurrection. That's why he says that bold statement, in Christ, in me, you're never going to die. Now, we may physically depart, but the early church, Paul called it sleeping. Daniel 11:32, this is the one. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. What's the key there? Know their God. To know him. To know him. Why did Paul pray that prayer or communicate that communication in, I believe it's in Corinthians? He says, basically, he says, all I really want to do, I forget everything else that I've achieved in my whole life. And I mean, and he achieved a lot of things spiritually. He achieved a lot of things for the church. But he says, I give it all up. It's all, I count it all as dung. I count it all as just waste. But to know Christ. Because see, if we know him, we receive great strength. And we're able to do mighty exploits, not for ourselves, for the glory of God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everything. There should be nothing that we face in life that Christ's strength should not be able to get us through. Anything. Death. For us, we went through the death of a son. We've been, both of us had to go through divorces. Our spouses abandoned us for other people. Other things in life, you know, too numerous to mention here. Well, I mean, I guess Eric's probably thinking, a few years ago, he always wants me to say, I was in the hospital. I almost died then, you know. But God's strength got me through it. I'm here today because of his strength. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's look at the next word. Oh, wait. No, I guess we're not. Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord. Yes, here's the key. Waiting on the Lord. Not just advancing out and doing your own thing. Waiting on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And Isaiah 30:15 says, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not. That's a crazy statement. In quietness and confidence, strength comes. What does that mean? Well, that means that you're not fretting. You're not running around all hairy, carry, scary, carry, whatever you want to call it. Harry, what is that, huh? I've never heard of that. Harry, carry, it's Harry, carry, maybe that's it. I'm surprised Patrick can say it. It's an old expression. Nuts, you're not running around nuts and just worrying about everything. You're in a quietness, you're in rest. You're saying, God's got this. And you know what? It's a confidence in him. When you look at your circumstances long enough, you know what? They literally start to fill your heart. When you keep your eyes on your circumstances, they literally fill your heart and they push out the working of God, the promises of God. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on his promises. The only way you can do that is you've got to get in your word. Hey, a little commercial here. I do it's not just monthly, but I do a Bible reading daily. It's only one chapter. If you'd like to join it, you can send me a text or call me or ask Eric if any of you are hearing this. And basically, we read a chapter. Right now, we're going through the book of Mark. I think we did chapter 5 today. Previously, we went through the book of John and Acts. But that's a way to get the word in your heart. And it's kind of nice because it's in a group setting. And usually, I try to find a little golden nugget that I picked up on that morning, and it will be in there. But you can share something. It's just a way to help yourself be accountable. Because it's easy to forget to read the word. I've done it. It's like, oh man, I was. But when you're in a group, it's harder to miss, isn't it? When you see other people's, you know, check marks, oh man, they made that. I didn't get there yet. It's just kind of like it gets you going. All right. So the next word we're going to look at is the power. And they sound similar. Be strong. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The power. This word is strength, so it's kind of similar. Might, or more specifically, manifested power. Dominion. So So I like this. It denotes the presence and significance of force or strength rather than its exercise. In other words, God is all powerful. You guys have heard that expression before, right?
Yeah.
That means that nothing is impossible for him. So if we can be in Christ and in his power, that means nothing's impossible for us. Why? Because nothing's impossible for him. So through proxy, through being his child, through being the one that he has called, I didn't call myself. The one that he chose, I didn't choose myself. He chose you. You didn't choose him. You think you did, but really it was God calling you, God drawing you, and he chose you. And he called you as a child. We are adopted as sons and daughters. Amen. We have been engrafted into the family of God. We're his children. So if we're children, then heirs. And if we're heirs, we're also joint heirs with Christ. That means everything that he has, we have. So his power is in us. It's residing in us. So if it's residing in us, how does it operate? In Christ. It doesn't just operate on its own. It operates in Christ as we operate as his children and by faith walk in him, walk in his truths, walk in his light, walk in his revelation. As we walk in those things, guess what? We carry power. And as it said, we carry strength. So let's look at this. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? See, it's always the working of his mighty power. It's not our power, it's his. But it appears to be ours. But when we lean on our own understanding and we think we're operating on our own strength, the power is defeated. The power is nullified. All right, let's look at another verse. 1 Peter 5:11, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. That's that Greek word as well, dominion. So when we think of this life, we think that we are citizens of the United States, right? Most of us, I would say, most of us, or at least residents of the United States, for most of us. I think most of us here are citizens, but if you're not, at least you're a resident, you're here. And you think that this is your dwelling place, you know? Yakima's my dwelling place. This is where I exist. This is, you know, I have a house just across the walkway for me. And but, you know, some of you all have, you know, houses, apartments, places that you live. And you think that that is the dominion that you're in. This is the existence that I'm in. But really, it's kind of all an illusion. Your true dominion is in God and his kingdom. This is just like a place for you to, I would call it like, you know, like a hotel. That's the way that the Greek describes it. It's like a hotel. It's not your permanent residence. It's like you've been given the ability to stay here for a while. Yeah. It's like you have the ability to use the pool and to, you know, eat the breakfast that they make. And hopefully it's like the full buffet. I hate those little continentals that are just the little, I can't even eat the muffins when they do. It's like, come on, people, let's get a breakfast, okay? Anyway, now you guys know one of my pet peeves. But anyway, it's like we're visiting. It's like we're just residenting at a place, but it's not our home. That's the way the Bible describes us here. So if this isn't our home, then what is our home? Heaven's our home. As I was saying earlier, when we were saying, holy, holy are you, we were agreeing with what's going on in heaven. The angels are going somehow 24/7. I don't know how they do it and not lose their voice, you know. But they're going all the time. There's worship always around God's throne. There's always praise. So we were just like joining in with that joyful celebration. It says that in Hebrews 12. That exact thing is said in Hebrews 12, that we have gathered in Mount Zion in the spiritual realm, and we're joining in with the celebration of angels. That being said, it's his dominion, and in his dominion, there's power. See, there's to him be glory and power forever. Dominion. Now, His dominion is only as powerful in your life as you let it.
Yeah, so good.
Before you knew him, how much did God work in your life? Well, probably more than we know, because he got us to him, drew us to himself. But really, unless we're really looking for him to work in our life and expecting him to work in our lives, we don't see him work in our lives. And we probably don't get to experience that. I believe when you're experiencing peace in a storm, he's working in your life. When you're experiencing, health, regular health, I'm just talking everyday health, he's working in your life. If you're experiencing a mind that is clear and able to reason, he's working in your life. But do we acknowledge it? I know sometimes when I ask people, like, how are you doing? Well, I'm upright. Especially older folks will say, I'm upright, I got out of bed and I'm breathing, and it's kind of funny, but in a way, glory to God, I got another day of existence. Amen? You younger ones are like, I can't relate to that. Anyway, Luke 1:51, he has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. So here's this word being used as strength. And the strong arm of God. You know how it says that God delivered the Israelites out of the land of Egypt?
Yeah.
With the strong arm, it says. With his strong arm. In other words, he exercised his strength, his power, his dominion over all of Egypt to the place they went through. 10 plagues, which ended up wasting Egypt. If you read of everything that happened there, that place was bankrupt when they left. And all the gold and everything sounded like it went to the Israelites. That's because through his dominion, his strong arm, he set them free. Colossians 1:10 through 11. Okay, I got it now. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. So notice again, isn't it amazing how it's always pointing back to what? To him, according to his glorious power. That's how we're able to please him. If we think that us just doing good and being good is going to please him, and we're doing it in our own strength, it's not. It's only when we're doing it in Christ, for Christ, for love for Christ, if you really want to pay it. For the love of God. Have you ever heard that expression? For the love of God. For the love of God, live holy. For the love of God, live righteous with the righteousness he gave you. Not in the blasphemy type term when people say it, but for God, love for you and your love for him. Now live fully pleasing him, fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. Okay, let's look at this word might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we're talking about being strong in the Lord. Not only being strong, but also it comes through the power, the dominion of his might. So what does this word might mean? Force, properly, force to overcoming immediate resistance. In other words, this is breakthrough.
Amen.
This is breakthrough is what it's talking about. The resistance that we think that we're facing in life, his might can come in and get us through it. To the place where we're on the other side. That brick wall, that barricade, that blockade that the enemy has set up, God can take you right through it, or over it, or around it. However he, maybe even under it. Because he's God. He can make a way when there's no way. And you know what he can actually do? He can make it so there's no wall there anymore. The wall's completely gone. Well, where'd the wall go?
Like Jericho.
Huh? Yeah, like Jericho. Pushed down in the ground, exactly. So here's Ephesians 1:19 again. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? So this This is that same verse I used before where we focused on power. Now we're focusing on the word mighty. The overcoming immediate resistance, the breaking down through that power. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. You could say with all your might. It's the same Greek word, with all your might. In other words, you're called, because Jesus said this is the first commandment. The other ones like it, to love your neighbors yourself, but this is the first commandment. So if it's asking us to love him with all our strength, what does that mean? That means with all this might to overcome the resistance that we're sustaining. How many know that living a Christian life, it feels like you're going against the current all the time? Because the world's going this way, and we're going this way. Hopefully. Hopefully we're not going the same way as the world. Hopefully we're not just like, oh, it's so much easier to just go with this current and just go with the flow. But the problem is going with the flow leads to death. Going with the flow leads to loss. I mean, it says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Going with the flow causes him to steal, kill, and destroy our stuff. Staying in Christ keeps us protected. Not to the place where he never steals anything or we never suffer loss. But the thing is, we're protected from the consequences that can affect us in such a way that it ruins our soul. It ruins our heart. It brings such a loss that we quit following God. Revelation 7:12 says, saying, amen, blessing and honor, glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. That's a Greek word. Finally, I want to leave us with this. This is Jeremiah 9:23-24. And why I want to leave us with this and this thought is because this is the key. If you remember right, I showed you that chariot with the horse being pulled. The chariot doesn't pull the horse, right? The horse pulls the chariot. And what does the horse represent? Strength, power, might. What does the chariot represent? If you remember right, well, let's just go back to it. This way I don't like trying to paint a picture that, here we go. Oh, I did a lot, didn't I? Okay, here we go. So that's a ridiculous picture. Why? Because the strength is not pulling or empowering the warrior to fight. It's in the background. And it's. I would say, I don't know, I'm not any kind of full engineer, but I would say that's probably going to create a problem with the horse trying to probably end up running over the warrior if you look at the picture. But the idea here is that we need the strength before we try to be equipped fully for war or before we engage in war. And how are we equipped? We're equipped in Christ, through Christ, in God. Now I'll go back to that. Come on. You're almost there. No, not almost there. Got a few more to go. Here we go. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. What is this saying? Well, you've been blessed with wisdom, but don't glory in it. You've been blessed being mighty, but don't glory in the might that you have. And don't glory in the riches that God has given you. Because everybody should be of the understanding, whatever you have been given in life is through the grace of God and through the gift of God. Some people say, no, I'm intelligent. I got straight A's when I was in college. That got me into a great job. And now, you know, well, God gave you the ability to get straight A's. No, I studied hard. God gave you the ability to study hard. God gave you the unction to study hard. Because some people could have got straight A's, but that's not the way God led them. But let him who glories glory in this. So this is a key now. If you really want to know how to look at the things that God has done for you and what is really important, that he understands and knows me. See, once we come to the place where we start understanding and knowing God, then being equipped for war will just be part of who we are. It won't be something that we walk around, you know, I'm a warrior. No, we'll just be warriors. How many warriors walk around, I'm a warrior? They don't need to do that. They look the part. In the spirit, we'll look the part. We may not look it in the physical, but in the spirit, we'll look the part because we understand and we know God. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. The key is that we need to be humble. We need, and I say this all the time, we need to be needy. I need you, Lord. I need you desperately. And I know Eric's getting ready to start a song, but I want to do a testimony here because yesterday I went to a prayer meeting at another church. And this is a pastor I've been meeting for coffee. Great heart. Love this man. And only known him a little over a few months. But I went and there was, it was a 6 a.m. prayer meeting on Saturday morning. There was 60 people there. And they were there seeking God. And so I got there at 6 and prayed. And one of the things that they do is they pray for about 45 minutes, an hour, all on their own. And then someone will get up and share a word. And so I was listening and, you know, to the word. And the word was about he restores my soul. He restores my soul. So he did a little teaching, just a little tiny one, on the word restore. And I'd never heard it before, but he said that the word restore is like repair. But it's also like return, like repenting, like turning around. I'd never heard that before. And then he you know, talked about, you know, the soul. And then we prayed about that for those that were out there. And he said it was somebody was put on his heart. And I don't know who it was, right? We just sometimes listen to what's being said and try to enter in, and I did. So this morning, got up early, was praying, and started journaling. And the Lord started dealing with me in areas. Like, I'm like, oh, wow, okay, what's going on? And he's been, you know, you guys know I'm back up here sharing. He's been doing things in me, trying to restore my soul. See, because in Christ, in my spirit, man, there's a strength because I know it. I have a strength. I'm in Christ. I mean, I know no other way to be but in Christ. But there's still the soul. There's still that inward man that can get wounded, that can get hurt, that can get disappointed through failures, through what you think, you know, the Lord didn't do for you, or whatever it is. You know, and the enemy lies to you and all of these things. So I just started asking the Lord, said, and there was a specific thing I started asking him about, and I won't get into all the details, but I said, Lord, why about this? You know, and I started asking him, and I didn't, you know, it wasn't like, you know, he's going to grab my hand and start writing back, you know, but the petition went out, you know, because the petition's a written prayer, and I just started, you know, requesting things. And then all of a sudden, you know, I was just waiting and just, you know, listening to some music, and I quit writing, but it was still there. And all of a sudden, I just started asking him to heal me. I said, heal my heart, Lord. Restore the joy of my salvation. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Just started, and this comes from knowing his word and knowing him. Just started, you know, asking him for things that were necessary for my soul to be fully restored. Because we're only going to go as far as we're good inside. And he wants to heal us, you know. He heals us spirit, soul, and body. We say it here. And I didn't necessarily think that I needed that, but once it came to me, I said, oh, Lord, yes. Yes, I need my soul restored. I need repair. I need to be healed. Now, some of you say, well, you're a pastor. Why are you saying all? Because it's true. That's one thing you'll get from me. You'll get the truth. You'll get the truth of how he's dealing with me, you know, because I believe if he's dealing with me, he must be dealing with, because if I felt like, and I didn't feel like I had arrived, but I felt like I was a good place in God. You know, his truth spoke to me all the time, all of these things. But there were areas that I didn't press into because my soul needed to be healed. My soul needed to be restored. You guys know where that comes from? That comes from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I'd always just read over that. I love the shepherd. I love the green pastures. I love laying down, you know. Think of the water brooks flowing and stuff. But he restores our soul. So if we want to be equipped for war, we need to be in Christ. And if we're in Christ, that means we're exposed. All of the weaknesses, all of the failures, all of the successes are open to him. We're an open book. We are an open book, obviously. God knows everything about us. He knows us when we're sleeping. He knows when we're awake. He knows what we're thinking. I mean, you can't run from him. But the thing is being an open book doesn't necessarily mean you receive the gifts of being an open book unless you totally yield to him. Because there's gifts from letting the light be exposed into your heart. There's gifts. There's restoration. There's healing. There's strength. There's power. There's might. So I'm just going to pray. But if you really sense in your heart that you need the Lord to repair maybe some years that the locust has eaten, maybe it's some things between you and God that have gotten all messed up, where you've thought one thing about God and it made you think that he was going to do something that he didn't do, and it was just, let's say, a misunderstanding, but it caused hurt to you. Maybe you've been just running from God because you were afraid that if you totally gave everything to him, he might require something of you that you're not willing to give up. Maybe it's just that you need to feel his joy once again. Feel his love once again. And if that's you, I just invite you up here with me right now. Anyone can join me. You don't have to, but if you want to join me, just say, I'm coming up, Lord, for you to restore my soul. Return me back to my first love. Put me in a place, Lord, where your joy is my strength, where in your presence are pleasures forevermore. And Lord, just it's just a place, Lord, of being in you where everything seems to be okay. And Lord, we can make a difference in this world, Lord, when we're healed and when we're whole. So Lord, I just confess to you as I have today, Lord, that I need you to heal me. I need you to heal anyone here that's this is right now in their heart, and they realize that they need to have some things healed from the past, from the wounds that the enemy, not that you, the enemy has put on us, or from failures, from us doing things our own way. Or maybe our expectations of what you were going to do didn't meet up to those expectations in our heart. And we felt like you let us down. Lord, heal us from that. Lord, we want to be a whole church. We declared that we want to reach Yakima one life at a time. But we can only do that, Lord, if we're well. We can only do that, Lord, if we're truly in Christ. Not just mouthing the words, but living out every single thing that comes with that. Letting you search us, oh Lord, and see if there's any crooked ways in us, any perverse ways, Lord, any bad thinking. Lord, we thank you that we know that you are the healer of the brokenhearted. And so, Lord, for any of us that are here that are brokenhearted, as you bring the full restoration to to our souls. I pray, Lord, that it would change us to the place that people don't recognize us again. Lord, that things that used to trigger us, Lord, no longer trigger us. And things that used to cause us to get mopey or depressed, Lord, won't affect us anymore. Let your will be done in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, bro. Thank you, Jesus.
I love you, Lord, my strength. And
so you are equipped for war. And you can use every piece of equipment that God has given you in His power, His strength, His might. But you have to be in Christ. You have to let Christ rule and reign in your hearts. And sometimes that means you have to let the light in and let him heal your heart. I love you guys. Have a great week. See you next week. Oops.
I've heard of the majesty.